The following production is brought to you by the Talkin' Buds Leaf Show.
Talkin' Buds Leaf Show. You know, I feel like an idiot. I gotta say, I feel like an idiot. I, like you, and like all of you, after game four, was like, they're cooked. That's it. Make changes, fire the coach, break up the core. Cut and dry. Being a fan of the Toronto Maple Leafs is never cut and dry. And no one knows that better than me or you or anyone who's watching this video. And here we are. We're going to game seven. You sat here all year and we talked about the playoffs and you said, no matter what happens, they're going, if they play the Bruins, you said numerous times this year, it's going seven games because that's just what they do. Three times in the last 12 years, the Maple Leafs have been down 3-1 to the Boston Bruins and come back to force a game seven.
Yeah, I don't think you're an idiot. I really don't. I don't want to be that guy, but I really don't feel any different than how I felt after game four. I don't know if that's just a super negative guy take, but I don't think you're an idiot. It was awful. That was so bad. So bad. But what we didn't account for is that the Boston Bruins are going through a little mental mind game of their own when it comes to eliminating teams in the playoffs. So that's one thing I didn't account for, but I don't know. I still don't feel that confident going into game seven. I don't know.
I think the thing that makes me the most confident, quite honestly, is what you just said. When we were going into game five, there was a lot of people who were talking about this mental hurdle with the Bruins, and I was like, that's ridiculous. Like, yeah, they blew it last year. Tons of teams do it. Like, I had no thought in my mind that this was going to be a thing that was hanging over the Bruins team. Oh, it is.
Yeah,
it very, very much is. You can see it in them. They are nervous when they go out and play these games.
Yeah, there's not really the first period. They're not starting on time when it comes to generating offense. Quite shocking.
I don't think that, like, I came out after game three and I said I thought the Leafs were the better team. And we had tons of Bruins fans in the comments of that video being like, you're a complete moron. But this Bruins team is not a super, they don't have a ton of offensive firepower. And the Leafs, we talked about this last episode. We're going to talk about it again today. When a superstar is out, the way the team sort of approach changes from behind the bench onwards, and the Leafs have been way better defensively.
Yeah.
In both of these games, just in terms of positioning, clogging up the middle, getting in the Bruins' way, clearing rebounds, everything. And I feel like we said after game two, it was like, don't beat yourselves. And they haven't beat themselves in games five and six.
Yeah, not taking penalties.
Yeah, not taking penalties.
Not giving up backbreaking goals.
Yes.
I think the biggest difference, they still can't generate any offense. Like, I don't think that's changed. Like, they still only scored two goals. Like, I was happy that Willie actually buried, like, a breakaway opportunity. That was a nice little change, but they still can't generate any offense. The only difference between these two wins is they're not taking penalties, and they're just way better defensively in terms of just being in the right lane at the right time. There was a lot of great guys, a lot of great block shots in the game last night. Like, there was guys in lanes all night. Matthew Nyes,
we've talked about confidence a lot. That guy's confidence is through the roof right now. And I thought he was one of the most impactful guys again.
Yeah, he made four unbelievable defensive plays. And he got an assist. It's like ever since he got that OT goal, he looks like a completely different hockey player. In terms of it, he just has a little more speed, a little more edge. He's always played kind of heavy and just, wow. It's just Jake McCabe had a couple great blocks.
Yep.
Like, they're just doing a way better job of controlling the gaps in the ozone.
I saw a lot of people freaking out prior to the game that they'd taken Reeves out and inserted Noah Gregor, which I love Revo, you love Revo. This hasn't been that nasty of a series, so I didn't really understand. I think everyone's mad at Sheldon right now, so they're just looking for any reason to rip on the guy. I actually thought that that Gregor, Pontus, Robertson line was pretty good.
Are these the same people who were criticizing them for signing Ryan Reeves in the first place? Like, what? It's just read the room, read the series. It's a pretty light playoff series when it comes to nastiness, if you ask me. Like, yeah, there's a ton of people finishing their checks, but it's just Marchand diving and Bertuzzi cross-checking and Domi giving. Like, there's no real... Pat Maroon is skating around the ice just looking at Leaf players going, you want to do that again?
Yeah.
Stay away from our team. It's the guy literally can't skate right now. Yeah, can't play. And he's just not, like, it's just the level of nastiness is gone, especially with two teams that now are going to be gripping their sticks.
Yep.
Like, the physicality is probably going to be way down in game seven, especially after the first period. If it's still 0-0 after the first period, my God, those are going to be two teams holding their sticks as tight as possible.
ELB, you cannot take a penalty. It's going to be one of those games. Like, we're just going to settle in for another one of these games where it's just so tense from the moment the puck drops.
The problem is, it's like they had no expectations after game four. Like, they were so bad. And it's kind of like, okay, the series is over. And then we kind of didn't know that the Bruins have a little bit of a mental mind fuck of their own. But then the problem with game seven is now the Leafs have something to think about and something to lose. And so do the Bruins.
Well, they've got to try. Sheldon's got to try and approach it the way they've approached the last two and just be like, like you said, we've got nothing to lose here. And we need to play like we've got nothing to lose here.
Go home and put your two hands together and just pray to whatever you pray to that number 60 shows up and plays the same way he's been playing the last two games if you want to win game seven.
Yeah. It's,
Yeah, that's like their biggest hope. Is this guy, has he had to make 110 bellers? No, but he's making shots. Like, Samsonov wasn't giving up awful goals, but, like, pucks were finding the net through traffic. And he also gave up that brutal short side one. Last night, there were, like, four or five shots through traffic that he did not see at all. And he made the save like he saw it the whole way. Like, Samsonov wasn't awful, but you just look at the difference in the small saves that Wall's making. It's making a difference.
Yeah, I mean, I've really tried to stay away from the revisionist history thing, but you do kind of look at it and go, should they have brought him in for game four?
And
after the goal that Samsonov gave up in game three that was a complete backbreaker, that literally broke them. Should he have come out for the third period in that game and taken it for the rest of the way?
I don't know.
Hindsight is 20/20, but it's like you just look at it and all this stuff. That one thing from listening to sports radio and pods with ex-players that these guys, what they always talk about is how having a stable goalie permeates through the rest of the team. You hear tons of ex-players say that just getting a save when needed is so huge for the morale of the team. And that's what Joe Wall has done. Like, there's been an improvement in their PK in the last few games in this series. That's literally because Joe Wall has been able to make the saves.
Well, someone read a stat somewhere that they're, even in the regular season, their PK was almost 10% better with Joe Wall in the net when he was playing in the regular season. But I mean, he's faced a combined three shots in the first period. But then when the Bruins started, that almost makes it harder for a goalie, though, because if you look at the two games, the Bruins had no shots in the first period. But by the time the game ends, it's pretty close in shots. So at some point they kind of figure it out and get some pucks on net. But like, you're sitting around with your thumb up your ass basically for 30 minutes of that hockey game, and then all of a sudden they start pouring it on at the end of the second, and he's got to be on his game and he's got to stay sharp. And he did.
Yeah,
he did. He made a couple of great saves through traffic.
Very, very impressive. Okay, two things. First one, let's talk about no Austin Matthews again. Hate to go down this road again because I talked about it ad nauseum after game five, but I don't think he's going to be in for game seven either. It does not seem that way. No one knows. It's some sort of mysterious injury. You look online, it's I've heard anything from a groin to a hip to I don't know. It's just I do not think he's going to be available in game seven. It's just, it's so obvious when you watch, once again, that when you remove one of these core guys, the philosophy behind the bench changes, and the way the lines roll changes, and the elevation of guys who are, it's just so obvious that a lot of these guys, look at Max Domi as a perfect example. I sat here all year when Max Domi was toiling away as the third line center going, you need to give this guy more. You need to elevate this guy's role. How could this guy play in the top six for the Dallas Stars, but he can't play here? And then as soon as Mitch got hurt, Keefe elevated him, made him feel important, gave him a defined role, and he took off. And you're seeing that now with the bottom six and just the situations they're being put in and the more defined roles. And it's not all about, I do wonder psychologically, the impact that it had on the rest of the team down the stretch in the regular season when the entire whole modus operandi of the team became about getting Austin Matthews 70 goals. The whole team was focused on getting Austin Matthews 70 goals.
Honestly, I think in hindsight, it was kind of a disaster because now the guy's hurt. Like, I mean, I was the guy being like, you got to get him 70. You got to get him 70. But he I remember he ran into the boards pretty hard in the last game or the second last game. And it's like, you sat him those two.
He also got hauled down in game three in the penalty that wasn't called that I think might have, he could have been injured there.
Well, since they leave it up to a mystery and we have no idea what the fuck is going on with him, then it's just like, maybe they should have sat him for the last two games of the season. Like,
Henrik Lundqvist had a quote on the NHL on TNT last night after the game. And he said, quote, sometimes they start with skill when they should be starting with simple, hard hockey and then allow their skill to take over later. Yes. What happened with William Nylander last night? And this comes back to my thing about getting Austin Matthews 70. Austin Matthews is a world-class hockey player and goal scorer. If your team goes out and plays well, he'll be able to get his cookies and score goals. But the entire focal point of the organization became about getting this guy to score goals. Mitch Marner, his whole game is trying to find Austin Matthews when he's on the ice. Max Domi, even though I just praised him, falls into that trap sometimes too. William Nylander last night, I thought he blended in for a lot of the first half of that game. Then he got his opportunities and he buried them because as a team, they were just focused on what we talked about earlier. Limit offensive chances, play well, be in the right places defensively, and when you get your chances, you have to bury them. And that's what William Nylander, that's what the Bruins did for the first four games of this series.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? And that's the winning recipe to playing in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And it literally takes Austin Matthews getting hurt and being removed from the lineup to shift everyone's focus. And if he is able to play in game seven, I really, really hope that that is something that they as an organization continue to prioritize this. Stop worrying about he doesn't have to be the only guy to score. And if you don't focus on that, he probably will score.
It'd be pretty wild if he drew back in and then they lost. Yeah.
What a narrative. But if anything, I don't think anyone would be like, well, this team's better with Austin Matthews. I think it would just feed into the point that I'm trying to make.
Yeah, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't think they would see it that way. Though. I don't think they're smart enough to see it that way. I don't know. That would be pretty brutal if he drew back in.
The issue with this organization has been that these four guys run the place and everything is about them. I cannot praise Chris Versteeg on 590 enough. I think he's been outstanding this year in talking about making sure everyone on your team has a role. And even if that role is you're a checking guy, you got to build that guy up to be the best checking guy possible. And I think that's where Sheldon Keefe and this organization has really failed. How many bit pieces have come in here over the years with the task of you need to help elevate these four guys that are making all the money. And if we're going to win, it's going to be these four guys that do it. And that's not untrue. Like, who got the two goals last night? One of the $11 million guys. But It was the rest of the team playing the right way, doing the right things that allowed for him to have the opportunity to bury his chances. It's not that hard.
Yeah.
That is the culture that if they lose game seven, ultimately will probably end up costing Brendan Shanahan his job, is every single thing in this organization revolves around these four guys. The chase for the Stanley Cup is on, and if you're looking to light the lamp, nothing beats the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. From the start of playoff beards all the way till the hoisting of the cup, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code THPN, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/ice for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved.
But can you imagine the difference in this series if they were actually doing anything on the power play?
I gotta tell you, man, I was feeling pretty good watching the game last night, and then they got that 4 minute where they did nothing, and
oh,
I'm
that
like
was the series.
Same. I was sitting there going, "That's it. That was your chance, and you just blew it." It's actually pretty fucked that they've been able to win these two games. They've been able to win any games in this series with how, like, you look at, they were showing the stats on the broadcast last night. Look at the Oilers. Look at the way the Oilers are clicking, running through the LA Kings with special teams.
Yeah.
And this team, man, holy Christ. And there's a lot of people who online are like, switch it up, put new guys out there. Honestly, while I don't disagree with that, I don't think it matters right now. Yeah. I think the whole fucking team is just completely like in their own head. I don't think coaches know what the hell is going on. I don't think players know what the hell is going on. It literally is at a point where you want to go NFL and start declining penalties because it's terrible.
Yeah, it's been a free 2 minute goalless run for the Boston Bruins as soon as the Leafs get a power play. Like,
the
it is
only
so bad.
Shot the Boston Bruins had in the first period last night was a shorthanded shot because this team is so fucking inept. Yeah. Listen, we're feeling good. They're going to game seven. This is a positive, upbeat episode. I'm proud of them. You know, we're really, really, we're really frustrated the other night. You got to tip your cap. They've battled, okay? So I don't want to have, like, too much negative conversation.
But come on, this is punching you right in the face.
What the fuck is going on with Morgan Rielly? I went on Twitter the other day and said Morgan Riley's been a shell of himself, and I had some people attacking me, telling me that his expected goals is through the roof and their offensive chances are better when he's on the ice. I don't know. I really, really hope... I don't hope, but it'll make me feel better if after this is all over, we find out he's dealing with some sort of injury because, man, that guy, he's a huge problem with the power play. Like, he comes up through the neutral zone and always does some stupid pass backwards that just throws everybody off and we have to, it's like, what are you doing?
I mean, that's the protocol. Like, I don't like how my expectations of him are higher than other people. I just don't like how the protocol is to make that pass. But if as a great player, as a top defenseman, I think you have the ability to kind of make your own decision if you see that something's open. He blew past two Bruins for once and actually had the opportunity to skate it in against the 2D. Instead, he turned it around and threw it right back
I'm sitting watching the game going, what are you doing, yeah, man?
It's like, I get that this is like the play, but when, first of all, you don't even know who's behind you.
Yes.
Like, that's a problem. The fact that you just threw it back blindly because you actually have no idea what's behind you because that's just been punched into your mind that you have to make that back pass. It's like, you watch Cale Makar and you watch Quinn Hughes and you watch any top defenseman. It's like, I'm sure they have plays they need to run that the coaches tell them to run, but I'm sure that they're smart enough hockey players to know to take what's being given to them. And that tells me that his brain like isn't exactly where it needs to be. It's like, dude, you're capable of getting 70 points in this league and scoring 20 goals as a defenseman. I think you're that skilled. So, like, you got to use your fucking IQ and you got to look and be like, I just blew past two guys. Let's take it into the zone. Like, just use, you got to use that IQ that you have that made you such a great player in the first place.
Morgan, I love you. I do. I love you. You're a pillar of this team. You have been. I think that a few years ago, you even got gypped when they named John Tavares captain. You were an absolute animal in the first round against Tampa last year. I just have something I really want to say to you. If you or the coaches are not confident in your ability to enter the zone on the power play, get out of the fucking way and let somebody else do it, because this back pass is, I can't see this anymore. It's ridiculous.
You got to stop with the let somebody else do it, though. Like that.
Yeah, well, give it
who?
To
who?
Someone who's going to attack
does the,
with
everyone
speed.
Does the same thing.
Fine. You're okay. Fair point. Because
how
you're
about
right.
We go to the bench and fucking jersey the two coaches who are drawing up this
another thing
play.
Too. I'm getting so annoyed at people on Twitter being like, Guy Boucher, fire Guy Boucher into the sun, fire what? It's like, guys, this power play has been garbage for years. Yeah. It's the head coach.
Yeah,
he ultimately answers for it. Like they. It's just, they get over the blue line. No one knows where to be. No, it's just guesswork. And you can see it. It's just, everyone's like, someone gets the puck along the wall. They don't know whether to go around. They don't know whether to go back to the point that no one's open in front of the net. Who's supposed to shoot? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just a complete, it's a mess.
I actually think like the second unit is actually probably better at getting it in the zone right now. But once they get in, they got nothing. And same with the first, like they can't even get a good shot on net. Like they're not setting up a one timer. They're trying to force this pass out front to Tavares that's never there. Like I don't understand how William Nylander can't like create a little space for himself on the power play and have a good shot on net. Like I don't get it. And the Boston Bruins have an incredible penalty kill. Like let's not like once they get in the zone, I understand that you have to make quick plays because even though it's 5-on-4, it doesn't feel like that because the Bruins pressure so well on the penalty kill. But like when we're talking about 20 opportunities, like that's a lot. And they've had the edge in the penalties for two games. Like I think the Bruins are due for a call or two in the seventh game, which kind of makes me nervous.
Yes,
because it's been pretty heavy one side the last two games in terms of power play opportunities. But like,
well, yeah,
holy shit! Boys.
But how like, many things realistically? Like Domi shoved Marchand, who sold it. I think
they're on to Marchand now. I think the way he's flippy flopping around, like
I hold off. There's some Leaf fans who just absolutely tee off on Brad Marchand, and I always kind of hold off doing that because I've always been of the opinion that, like, if that guy was in a Leaf uniform, we'd all love him, which is probably true. I just think, like, if that's your leader and that's the way this guy is choosing to play the game, like it's just not – like, go out and play hard and run somebody over. Score a big goal instead of your whole, like
– in fairness, he has, like – biggest, like he was kind of be doomed to fail because he has the biggest shoes to fill, man.
Yeah, he does.
Like they
he
had does. Chara,
yeah, he does,
and Bergeron, like two absolute leaders of leaders. Two guys who just play hockey. One guy's just a monster who's just so good. And Bergeron is arguably one of the greatest hockey players of the generation that just went by. So it's, I mean, it is really tough shoes to fill, but
it's just, I just look at it and I go, I understand there's gamesmanship and all that, but like when the leader of your team's whole thing is that he's going to flip flop all over the ice.
He was flopping.
To the point that he got caught in game four, flip flopping for, or game five, excuse me, flip flopping for the linesman, and then had a spaz on the linesman because he was embarrassed because it got caught on national TV that he took a dive.
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't know. I just don't, if like, if you're a guy in the room who goes out there and works hard and you see that, you're kind of like, you're a little rat, man.
Yeah.
Another thing, too, with the Bruins is David Pastrnak has had a mid-series to the point that Jim Montgomery called him out after the game last night and was like, he's got to be, like, way better.
Jimmy coaching for his job?
100% Jimmy's coaching for his job.
Like, you know, we talked about how well-coached they are, but dude, when do you blow 2-3-1 series leads? Like, organization?
When they pan up to the Bruins box and you see Cam Neely, Seabass, and Don Sweeney sitting up there, like the Boston Bruins, like, this ain't, well, let me put it to you this way. Sheldon Keefe would not have survived the Montreal Canadiens debacle if he was behind the Boston Bruins bench. Let me tell you that. Okay, especially the following year when they lost to Tampa again. Like, if Monty blows 2-3-1 leads in a row, that'll be the end of Jim Montgomery in Boston.
Yeah. I do kind of find it interesting, like, going on, like, Chicklet's Instagram and going through their comments and just how Bruins fans seem, like, so tortured. And it's like, you guys have no fucking idea. Even though if you do look at their history, like, they won the Cup the 1 year, but then they lost in the final to Chicago. They lost in the final to St. Louis. They kind of make it to the second, third round every single year and never get it done. So I kind of
Two years ago, they lost in the first round to Carolina. Last year, they blew the 3-1 lead after having a record-setting regular season.
Don't give me that shit. Like, I find that just laughable. Oh,
any Boston sports fan, get out of here, man.
Shut up.
Get out of here.
Please. Like, come on.
Yeah, forget it. Yeah. Forget it.
Fuck off.
Yeah, man. It's really, this game seven is unique from the other Leafs Bruins game sevens, and the fact that the Bruins have so much on the line in terms of not wanting to make history with blowing consecutive 3-1 leads, and the Leafs, like, the Leafs record in elimination games under this core and game sevens,
still haven't won a game
they've
seven.
They've never won a game seven.
Yeah. So that's why I'm going and I am just praying that number 60 pulls one out of his hat.
Because he has to be.
They can't win a game seven. They had nothing to lose for two straight games, and now they have everything to lose again. It's like they could now you're looking at Keefe, you're looking at Shanahan, being like, they win this game. Like, how do you, like, even the core, even big changes to the core, like, all of a sudden now the expectations on these guys have come back on.
I would say the pressure is still more heavily on the Bruins, because if the Leafs lose, it'll be disappointing and they sucked us all back in. But at the same time,
I'm not really sucked in.
No, but at the same,
I feel like we're not as sucked in as we normally are.
No, no. But at the same time, it's like, we all wrote the obit after game four and we're like, this is over, whatever. And I think it's still, I'm at the point with this organization where I believe, especially when you see who's sitting waiting next round, it's going to take an absolute miracle run to save jobs and to save the complexion of the team. So in a way, yes, it will be nice if they win game seven and move into the second round, and that's great, but they're technically still kind of in the same place that they were. The Bruins, man, like, you're making history. Like, you are making sports history if you lose game seven and blow consecutive 3-1 leads.
Yeah.
And Jim Montgomery, after two great regular seasons, will probably lose his job.
Yeah, I don't know. I have a hard time envisioning them somehow pulling it out. It's just,
well, that's your jaded.
We've seen it before. Yeah, no, but like, you have seen it before. Like, they did in 2013, and the fact that they even got to a game seven with that hockey team was a miracle. Yeah. Like, come on.
There was also the other that they went to game seven with the Bruins twice. The first one was the one they came back 3-1, and if you remember, they were leading in the going into the third period in that game.
Yeah,
and they blew it. It's just that building. Part of me is just like, oh my God.
It doesn't feel as like heavy as it normally does.
No,
though.
No, but that's the point I was just trying to make.
Yeah, I agree. Because like, even if, to me, like, I don't want to be that guy, but even if they win this series, like, they're going to go, we saw last year, it was like, they got to slay the dragon. They got to get the monkey off their back. You know what? They did it. And then guess what? I was, after game three of the second round, I was absolutely spazzing. Yeah. So it's...
I think either one of these teams is in tough heading into round
two.
They're in tough.
Yeah, in tough is putting it nicely,
so,
I think.
So it just is what it is. Yeah, and we're going to be here again. It's a Saturday night game, so we'll be back on Sunday morning to talk about game seven, Leafs-Bruins game seven.
Yeah, I mean, it was bound to happen.
It was bound to happen.
They can't help themselves.
I said off the top, I feel like an idiot for just... It's just not going to be...
No, you weren't an idiot.
I don't... Obviously...
They were so bad.
Obviously, I don't have the pulse on what it's like to be fan bases of other teams. Like, other historic sports teams, like the New York Yankees, the Chicago Cubs... The Dallas Cowboys. I don't have the pulse on what it's like to be a super fan of those teams. But to just be a fan of this hockey team is such... It's not for the faint of heart, man. It's not. It's just not... I think back in hindsight and I'm like, it just was never going to be as cut and dry as, well, they got smoked, they lost in five, fire Keefe, trade Marner, fire Shannon. Like, it was just never going to be that cut and dry. It was just, it's going to be, nope. The whole fan base is going to be out and be so angry after game four, only for them to lose their franchise player, the best goal scorer in the world, and then to suck us all back in with their two best complete performances in games five and six, and the guy who we all are just praying is the future franchise goaltender taking control and playing very, very well for them.
See, I was with you on that. I was like, when the Leafs play a first round series against Boston, we know one thing, bet it going seven games. But you know what was holding me back? Was them getting absolutely destroyed by the Florida Panthers and losing in five games. So it's like, I saw them lose in five games and get moked last year. So that's why my brain was kind of just like, I can see this ending in five. I saw it last year. But yeah, I mean, first round series with the Boston Bruins, you better bet the seven games or else you're a complete idiot.
Well, so there you go. Look, episode after a win, 31 minutes. Yeah. See, this is why...
We were just in shock after Ryan the other one.
Well, yeah. you and I conversed yesterday and we said, you know what? It's an 8 o'clock start. We'll be posting the video in the middle of the night. Let's get together Friday morning and do it. I don't like doing post-game shows. I like having some time to collect my thoughts before coming on here. When you get on after the post-game, you got a million things going on in your mind. I always feel like I sound like a complete idiot after a post-game because I'm just emotional. I'm just like spewing out emotion. It's
post-game after... A loss is pretty epic.
It's pretty...
It can get electric.
It is.
It can. Yeah.
That's right. But...
Especially the next one.
But yeah. But we'll still
sleep on it.
Yeah, we will still sleep on it. And so, once again, tons of great new subscribers after last episode as well. Tons of great comments and engagement on the video. Also on the audio version. Really appreciate it. If you haven't yet subscribed to the channel, do so below. Like I said, we will be back after game seven.
Spread the word. Tell your friends.
We really appreciate it. We'll see you guys then.